Good morning, everybody. The broad focus of my work is on ascertaining time lag in agricultural soils, and that is the delay in nutrient transfer from the soil surface to the groundwater below. And this can be estimated using numerical modelling such as HYDROS-1D. Now, to get the data for HYDROS-1D, you require an assessment of the soil hydraulic properties. And you can do this either by directly measuring the soil water characteristic curve, which is very high resolution data, but it's very time consuming and arduous to measure. And alternatively, as a number of our speakers have indicated this morning, we can infer these properties from more easily measurable attributes such as soil texture and bulk density using peat transfer functions. And these will give us the soil hydraulic parameters and hence enable our numerical modelling. But these particle size distributions can be assessed in a number of different manners. You can use hand analysis in the field done by the soil surveyor, or you can use a variety of laboratory methods including the pipette, laser diffraction and hydrometer, and each of these will give us our hydraulic parameters which can go into the model to create your breakthrough curves, which I use to assess time lag. So I began to wonder, did it matter which of these textual analyses we used in our peat transfer functions for the indirect low complexity data assessment? So I took soil profile, it's 1.4 metres in depth, and divided into a grid, and for each grid cell assessed the sand, silt and clay and or textural class using the hand, pipette, hydrometer and laser diffraction methods. And as you can see here, the hand method done by the soil surveyor can only tell you that it's a loam soil. It can't tell you much more detail than that. And there are small differences between the pipette, hydrometer and laser methods. I then used the RETC program to ascertain theta R, theta S and the fitting parameters from these data using the neural network prediction function. Then for two meteorological data sets, I simulated the movement of a conservative tracer through two of these profiles in HYDROS-1D. And what we found was for the initial breakthrough of the solute at the base of this profile, there was really very, very minor differences between the pipette, hydrometer and laser methods, but there was a greater discrepancy when it came to the hand texturing method. And this same trend was repeated when it came to the latter stages of solute transport, shown here as centre of mass. Really, there were almost negligible differences between the three laboratory methods, but the hand method led to an overestimation of time lag. It anticipated that the solute moved more slowly than the other methods anticipated. So what does this tell us? Well, firstly, hand texturing doesn't give you as much information as the laboratory methods, but we didn't need to do a survey or a study to ascertain this. But what we did know, what we did learn, was that it led to an underestimation of time lag by 0.07 to 0.19 years. However, the difference between the laboratory methods was very, very minor. It was less than 0.04 years. Now, like Mandy's study earlier, the purpose of my work is to advise policymakers, in this case, as to the duration of time lag. And the European Union Water Framework Directive has reporting periods for groundwater quality of 3 to 6 years. So a difference of 0.04 years is really very inconsequential in that light. And that's very good news, because most of us don't have a choice of which laboratory methods we have. It's whatever amenities are available to us. This work was published in full in the Journal of Contaminant Hydrology, Fenton et al. 2015, and you can also come and visit my poster, which is number 1609. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelly. Do you have other questions?
So how prevalent is hand texturing across in terms of the surveys? I mean, is that pretty much the base of the surveys?
Absolutely. It would be the first level of assessment. The Irish Soil Information Survey launched their online database in September of last year, and they map the soils across Ireland at a 1 to 125,000 scale. All of those soil profiles, I don't know the number of them, but I believe there was many hundreds, were first-hand textured, and then lab results or samples were also taken back to the lab for textural analysis. So really, what this means is that you can start off by using the hand texturing analysis if time lag is not very important in this scenario. but where higher resolution data is available, as it now is in Ireland, but previously wasn't, you can should move to the laboratory methods. It's really, in my scenario, is a comparison of the old soil survey and the present soil survey.
The primary solution that you're using for flow.
I don't quite follow. Oh, what was the duration?
Yeah.
Oh, in these profiles, it was very, very quick. So we were seeing breakthrough of the solute in less than 0.5 years. Very, very rapid. But for the longer term, time, like how long it took for the solute to leave the profile entirely, you were looking at in and around 3 years, almost always. But keep in mind that these are very shallow profiles. This is 1.4 metres, and many soils would, in fact, be a lot deeper.
Could you do some comparisons between the methods you show here and the pressure-based method you mentioned early on?
No, not yet. This was working on the very low-complexity data alone, and then we have a separate study which was dealing with the high-complexity data in which we used pressure plates and centrifuges. And what I'm hoping for is that the next stage in this work will to be bring those two comparisons together. That would be really very valid and useful, because that's always the big question, is do you use the low complexity or do you use the high complexity, indirect versus direct? It's challenging.
Cool. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much.